Chapter 17. For a moment, I found myself swept up in the euphoria of my victory, and excitement flooded through my entire body. I'd done it. I'd captured one of Huna's monsters for myself, and I was one step closer to capturing the Arkin in my consciousness once and for all. The excited cheers of my teammates drowned out all other sounds in the field, and my lips curled into a contented smile. However, the feeling didn't last long. As I continued to hold the essence crystal in my hand, the remaining mist wolves suddenly erupted into a chorus of growls that sent a chill down my spine and disrupted any of the congratulatory sounds from my teammates. Then the mist wolf at the front of the pack took a tentative step forward, and its lips curled back to reveal a mouth full of sharp teeth. Shit. Were my friends and I about to be wolf chow?
So, boss?
Dio's voice rang out in my head.
I'm glad you caught the mist wolf and all, but, what do we do now?
I tried to come up with a good answer to give the saber-toothed cat, but nothing came to mind. I was reluctant to look over at my summons for fear of the mist wolf striking. So I maintained eye contact with the iridescent monsters and mentally dared them to do their worst. I doubted any of them had psychic abilities, but I couldn't be certain of anything. We were at a complete standstill, and for once, I had no idea what to do. So I reached into my mind and unbound some of the wards around the Arkins, just enough for the monster goddesses to be able to speak freely with me. What should I do now? I asked them as sweat beaded across my forehead. They don't seem especially pleased.
There isn't much.
Xanrith spoke up first.
You've taken one of their own, and the pack is big on loyalty.
I'm surprised they haven't struck already.
Mira Lee added.
Huna's pack isn't one to hesitate.
Are they waiting for Huna?
Utuni wondered.
That's the only reason I can imagine.
They're deciding on how they want to proceed.
Viopa assessed in a calm, silky voice.
True, they follow Huna, but as Xanrith pointed out, their loyalty amongst one another is stronger than almost any other bond. You can see it in their eyes. They're conflicted. Do they attack the human who captured one of their own like a wild animal? Or do they follow their mistress's orders, whatever those might be? They're unsure whether to follow their instinct or instruction.
How do I speed this up? I asked, and my eyes darted over to my friends. The mages and shapeshifters had frozen right along with the wolves, and I could tell they were waiting on my order to strike. I can't stand here for eternity and play chicken with the pack.
You have to be patient until you see motion, Sarah said softly. If you go on the offense now, they'll rip you to shreds. Mist wolves with a normal temperament are deadly enough, but bloodthirsty mist wolves? They're something else entirely.
Are you suggesting they held back before? I asked. I think Murr's injury proves otherwise.
His injury proves our point exactly, Sarah countered. Sure, the hawk swooped in to save the moose, but the mist wolf had every opportunity to kill Murr, and it merely took a bite out of him instead.
If they wanted you dead, they'd have killed you,
Fi pointed out.
Your earlier hunch was correct. Huna wanted you here for one reason or another. But it seems like your capturing one of her monsters was not part of that plan.
Any sage words for the group, Karth? I prompted the horn Darkin, and a honeyed laugh rang through my consciousness in response.
Perhaps I shouldn't have doubted my sister's abilities so long ago,
Karth mused.
I used to underestimate her pack, but now that I've seen them in action after so many centuries, I shouldn't have written her off.
Ah, that's nice, I scoffed. And entirely unhelpful. So you're going back in your cage until you can behave. With a wave of my will, I thrust the wards back around Karth and held back a sigh. I didn't know why I'd even bothered with the green-skinned goddess, She had no intention of ever helping me, so I needed to stop pretending otherwise. I turned my attention back to the other Arkans. Zan, specifically. Is Huna asking them to stall until she arrives?
That's not a bad theory,
Zanrith allowed.
It's hard to say for certain, but that does sound like something Huna would do.
The growls grew louder, and I knew it was time for this to end.
Griff?
Nia whispered, and I could feel the elementalist's gaze upon me, but I couldn't react. Not yet. As the monster at the head of the pack took another tentative step, I deepened my stance and braced myself for attack. But the iridescent wolves surprised me by turning on their heels and fleeing in one swift blur into the emerald brush.
What?
I began to say, but my voice cut off in disbelief.
Where are they going?
Nia wondered as the pack disappeared into the thicket of trees, and I shook my head slowly as they vanished from sight. I have no idea, I replied in an awed tone. Hopefully they're returning back to their mistress like we wanted them to. Catching one of their pack threw them off, and they didn't seem to know how to act. It's almost like Huna gave them a direction, and when the plan didn't follow it exactly, they didn't know what to do.
Do you think she's on her way here?
Nia asked as the citrine tendrils of her fire magic retreated back into her fingertips. If everything works out how we wanted it to, then yes, I replied to my wife. And then I peered around at my team, who were all just as confused as me. Everyone relax for a second. Sheath your weapons. Stretch. I don't know when they'll return, but exhausting ourselves at attention isn't going to do us any favors. My friends relaxed their stances and let out sighs of exhaustion.
Micah, that was terrifying.
Brayden shook his head as a shudder rippled through his broad shoulders.
I thought we were going to be the pack's lunch.
We came close.
Gawain rubbed the back of his golden blonde head.
And speaking of lunch, where is Myr?
Myr!
Vala gasped as she shifted back to human form, and her features turned to alarm as she remembered the moose shifter. The younger hawk princess suddenly ran into the thick spread of trees with impressive speed, and Brayden chased after her. Gawain wasn't too far behind, and soon it was just Nia, Freya, and me.
Should we go after them? I wondered.
Between Brayden and Gawain, I think they have it under control.
Nia shook her head, and she smoothed a few errant strands of silvery hair back into her braid. Even after fighting a pack of deadly monsters, Nia's hair still looked immaculate. How the multi-elementalist mage managed to remain so elegant no matter what she did never failed to amaze me.
Are you two okay?
I asked as I studied both of my wives.
Freya didn't look nearly as poised and put together as Nia, but there'd always been a wildness about my hawk wife that was incomparable to anyone else.
I'm fine,
Freya shrugged as she pulled a leaf from her dark blonde mane of hair.
Only a few scratches here and there. I'm all right, too.
Nia chimed in, and she gave Freya and me a small smile.
Confused, and a little tired. But other than that, I'm fine.
Me too, I agreed with the beautiful mage.
I'm fine, too, if anyone was wondering,
Dio grumbled, and my tawny familiar shrank down to the size of a house cat.
We were wondering. And I'm glad you're okay. I laughed lightly, and I swept the grumpy saber-toothed cat into my arms. You were a total badass back there.
I was, wasn't I?
Dio declared with a proud puff of his chest, and I scratched behind his ear to reward him for his efforts. Once he was through with the affection, I set the cat-like monster on the ground and turned my attention back to the Mistwolf's essence crystal. I ran my hands over the smooth surface of the crystal and let out a whistle as the mental image of the Mistwolf struggle played through my mind. That was a close call.
I can't believe that actually worked.
Nia breathed as the crystal's rainbow shift reflected off her piercing blue eyes.
Not that I had any doubts about your ability, farm boy. You're a damn good summoner. Our Griff is indeed a powerful warrior.
Freya praised me with a proud smile.
If anyone was going to capture a monster like the Mistwolf, it would be him.
It was a group effort, I reminded my team. I appreciate all of the praise, but if it weren't for you guys keeping the rest of the pack at bay, none of this would have been possible.
All right, enough of the complimentary sappiness.
Gawain's voice rang out as he reappeared.
We have a moose that's in need of a healer.
The haughty fire mage and Brayden had Murr between them, and the moose shifter had one arm over each of the mages for support.
Oh no!
I heard Nia whisper, and her hand went over her mouth as she took in the sight of the weakened boy. But even though his face was pale, and there was a dark red blood stain in the side of his shirt, Murr still wore a friendly smile.
It looks worse than it is, Griff,
he called out to me in his native tongue. But Brayden's sudden glance at me proved otherwise.
We must get him healed at once!
Vala appeared from behind them, and her eyes had a touch of red to them as if she was on the verge of tears. We will, I assured the younger Hawkshifter before she could get too upset, and I looked over at my friends. Gawain, Brayden, bring Murr to this tree over here and help him sit down. The pair of mages let out sighs of agreement and then carried the moose shifter over to a tree not too far from where I stood. Once Murr was on the ground, he rested his head against the trunk of the tree and closed his eyes. Vala kneeled down beside him and offered him a hand, and he took it gratefully and squeezed as his features clenched. My curly-haired friend was in a lot more pain than he wanted to let on, and I needed to get him healed immediately before things got worse. Thanks, guys. I nodded at the ox-like summoner and the fire mage, and then I cleared my throat and addressed the group. While we're waiting, I'm going to summon Xanrith. Her healing magic can help Murr, and once he's patched up, I'll have her examine everyone else. I know the rest of us just have a bunch of minor scrapes and scratches, but if Huna and Keela show up as anticipated, we need to be in perfect condition.
To summon Xanrith?
Murr stammered as his dark brown eyes shot open.
Which one is she?
She's not Viopa, I soothed him. I heard Freya translating my words to her sister. Xan has resurrection magic that also works as healing magic.
She is one of the goddesses, yes?
Vala clarified in her native tongue, and her eyes were cautious as the words left her lips. Yes, I nodded at my sister-in-law. Is it all right with you for me to summon her here?
If she can help, then yes.
The younger shifter nodded back at me as she tucked a strand of russet hair behind her ear.
Besides, I would really like to meet her for myself. I am fascinated by your monster goddesses.
I reached into my consciousness and unbound the wards that kept Xanrith at bay.
Hello, Griff.
Xanrith greeted me, and the musical tone of her voice brought a smile to my face. Though I wouldn't admit it to the other Arkans for fear of being flayed alive, I had a soft spot for Xan, and I'd grown to really enjoy her companionship. She was the only one of the Arkans who'd joined me willingly, and while I didn't want to feel biased toward the ancient goddesses, that had definitely scored her some points. Hey, Xan, I replied. We're going to need some of your resurrection magic. Murr got clipped by one of the Mistwolves, and the rest of us have some minor scrapes and bruises that could use some healing.
Summon me forth, and I'll do everything I can to heal your friends,
Xan replied. I unbound her completely, and after a moment, the side of my torso began to tingle. A stream of azure essence flew from beneath my shirt, and once it dissolved, Xanrith stood before us. The umber-skinned goddess stretched out her wings, and the azure flames crackled with emotion. I admired the way Xan's full, pert breasts swayed as she brought her arms back down to her sides, and heat spread to my cheeks when I realized she'd seen that.
Now, which one is Murr?
The goddess asked as her violet eyes darted around the forest. The moose shifter over there. I pointed to where Murr laid down beneath a tree. Xanrith gracefully swept over to him. And as she approached the moose boy, I watched Vala's jaw drop in awe.
Is everything all right?
Xan asked the hawk princess in a soft tone, and I was surprised to hear her use the language of the clans to speak to Freya's sister.
Sorry.
Vala apologized, and her emerald eyes flew straight to the ground.
I was expecting a monster goddess to be more gruesome. You're beautiful.
Thank you for the compliment, princess.
The umber skin darkened and addressed the shapeshifter.
You're lovely, too.
Xanrith carefully crouched down and began to examine Murr's wound. She gently pulled the hem of his shirt up to examine the injury better, and when I saw the Mistwolf's bite marks on his flesh, a brief flash of panic coursed through me. They were deeper than the stain on his shirt had indicated, and I wanted to yell at my friend for trying to play it off, but the moose shifter had been through enough.
Is he going to be okay?
Vala whispered to Xanrith.
Your friend is going to be perfectly fine,
the flame-winged Arkin insisted.
The wound is deep, but not deep enough that I can't heal it. Trust me, princess. My specialty is reanimation. There's little I can't bring back, and he's not nearly as far gone as others I've returned to the physical world.
Thank you,
Vala replied, and she stepped aside to give Xan some space. The umberskin Darkin took Murr's hand in hers, and the moose shifter's dull brown eyes swept over to her.
Now, Murr, I'm going to need you to focus on my eyes for this to work,
she instructed him.
All you need to do is focus on me.
Okay.
Murr nodded weakly, and he quickly looked over at me. Just do as she says, I instructed him in my calmest voice. Xanrith knows what she's doing, and we're all right here for you.
Thank you.
My moose friend nodded again. Then he took a shaky breath and looked up at Xan, and the Arkin took his hands in hers and squeezed it tightly. There was a hum, a small vibration in the air that buzzed at the innermost part of my ear, and I whipped my head around to see if the others could hear it, but no one else reacted to the sound.
It's my magic,
I heard Xan's voice in my head.
You're more in tune with it because I belong to you. It's similar to the way you can sense the magics of your other summons.
Soon the wound across Murr's chest began to seal up, and I couldn't help but shake my head in awe as I watched Xan's magic at work. The goddess had brought me back from the brink of death before, but it was still fascinating to watch her heal someone. Arwen's healing magic worked in a similar way, and I wondered if healer mages were influenced by the flame-winged Arkin in the same way shapeshifters had been given their gift by Viopa. That made me wonder if the other classes of mage had been gifted their magics by other Arkans. But that was a question for another day.
Wow,
Nia breathed beside me. Color returned to Murr's cheeks, and soon it was almost as if he'd never even been injured in the first place. His dark brown eyes sparkled with a honeyed tint, and a smile broke out across his lips.
Thank you,
he whispered to Xan, and the goddess helped him to his feet.
Thank you so much for healing me.
You're welcome,
she replied.
You're going to want to take it easy for a bit, but you should feel back to normal soon.
He is fixed?
Vala asked the Arkin in a soft voice as she craned her neck to look over at the moose shifter.
All fixed,
Xan confirmed. The young Huck princess's face lit up, and she gave the flame-winged Arkin a dazzling smile.
Oh, thank you, my lady,
she whispered.
I was so worried he wouldn't be okay.
You're welcome,
Xanrith said, and then she inspected Vala with a raised eyebrow.
It appears you have some scrapes yourself. Step over here, and I'll heal those right up for you.
Vala nodded, and I noticed Freya stiffen. While she was more trusting when it came to Xan, I knew she was still uncomfortable with the monster goddesses, and especially uncomfortable with one touching her sister. She's gonna be okay, I whispered to my hawk wife. Vala's in good hands. Freya's gold-flecked brown eyes remained on Xanrith, but she relaxed when I crossed over and wrapped my arm around her shoulders. She rested her cheek against me, and I leaned down and kissed the top of her head. As we cozied up, Murr stepped over, and his cheeks were tomato red.
Freya,
he addressed my warrior wife as he tugged at the hem of his jacket.
I just... I wanted to thank you for saving me from that wolf.
Freya raised her head up to look at the moose shapeshifter directly.
Vala did most of the saving. I only provided a second body. You helped just as much,
Murr interjected in a firm but polite voice.
Thank you. You're welcome,
Freya replied in a cautious tone. Murr gave her a quick smile and turned away from the Hawk Princess. But before he got too far, Freya reached out to touch his shoulder.
Murr,
she addressed him when he turned around.
You are not as bad as I thought. You held your own against the Mistwolves, and even though you were hurt, you wanted to pursue the fight. That loyalty is not lost on me. Thank you, Freya,
the moose shifter replied in a thoughtful voice.
That means a lot to me.
Freya gave the boy a curt nod and then inclined her head toward Vala.
Do not hurt my sister, or I will give you a wound worse than the wolf.
Fear flashed through Murr's eyes briefly, but Vala appeared at his side and pulled him away before Freya could say anything else. Her cheeks were just as pink from embarrassment, but there was an appreciative smile on her lips. It wasn't an official blessing, but I knew Freya was at least a step closer to accepting the Moose Shifter as an ally. Maybe one day she'd even see him as an acceptable companion for Vala. After that, each of us went over to be healed by Xanrath, and once we were all cleared of our scrapes, scratches, and bruises, I thanked the Flame Winged Arkin and recalled her back into my consciousness. When the Azure Essence returned to the site of my tattoo, I realized my teammates were all staring at me. Gawain cleared his throat first.
So now that we're all fixed and you've captured one of the monsters, what do we do now? Should we try to track down the rest of the pack?
We want Hoona to come to us, remember?
Brayden said gently.
Griff caught one of the pack to get her attention, so we probably need to stick around this area. If the Mistwolves are on their way to find her, she probably isn't too far behind.
Are you prepared for whatever's going to happen when she arrives?
Nia asked me in a serious voice.
How are you in terms of mana? I know Zan just healed us all, but she's technically one of your summons. So I know your mana is affected when the Arkans are outside of your mind.
I've been a lot worse, I insisted to my wife. My mana doesn't take as big of a hit anymore. Not since I've collected nearly all of the Arkans.
Still, I brought a few potions with me,
my ashen-haired wife pressed.
I want you to drink them down and build up whatever energy you lost in that battle. You've taken on the Arkans one at a time, but capturing two of them, you're going to need as much mana as you can get.
It's not going to be easy, I said, but we have the other goddesses at our disposal. Sohuna and Keela are outnumbered. Even with two of them, we still have a larger team for them to fight against.
Should we find more open ground?
Gawain wondered.
I know we want to stay still and all, but there has to be a space close to here that's more open. It doesn't have to be a field, we just need more suitable area in case a battle ensues.
That's not a bad idea, I agreed with the Fire Mage. Let's see if we can find a small clearing. My team snapped into action, and we headed into the forest. We managed to find a more open space, a clearing with trees surrounding it. And though I didn't like to feel so vulnerable and exposed, I knew this area would be better suited for a fight. The pack had gone north, so we settled at the southernmost part of the clearing so we could see their imminent return. Just before nightfall, we set up a few smaller tents and then worked together to create a small fire for our makeshift campsite. We dressed warmly for the occasion, but the darkness brought an extra chill, and I wasn't about to risk hypothermia while we waited for Hoona and Keela to arrive. Once tendrils of flame raised up into the air and filled the space with an aura of warmth, we settled around the fire and nibbled at our food rations. Not long after we ate and discussed a bit of strategy, we prepared to retire to our tents. We paired off, as Gawain went with Murr, Freya with Vala, and Nia with me. But Brayden was so large that it made sense for him to have his own space. Before I headed to my tent, I called my familiar over to me. The house cat-sized Sabretooth tilted his head once he approached,
and he stared at me with curious yellow eyes.
"What's up, boss?"
Dio asked.
"Do you need help with something?"
"Dio, I'm going to need you to stand guard tonight," I instructed him. "Keep an eye out for the Arkans and warn us if you see anything suspicious."
"I'm on it,"
Dio declared. And after he crossed to an empty spot in the clearing, he stretched out to a form that was closer to the size of a mountain lion. It wasn't as physically imposing as his normal height, but it was still large enough to be intimidating.
"You can count on me, Griff."
"Thanks, buddy," I smiled at the tawny monster. Once Dio found a post for his patrol, I climbed into my tent and settled in with Nia. After we wrapped a thickly woven blanket around us, I took the multi-elementalist into my arms. Nia's head settled onto my chest, and I ran my hands through her silver hair.
"Do you think Huna and Keela will come at daybreak?"
Nia mused. "It's hard to say," I replied. "If I were them, that's what I'd do."
"Are you nervous?"
she continued as she wrapped her arm across me. "I'm fine," I said. But the moment the words left my lips, I wasn't exactly sure.
"You can tell me,"
Nia soothed me.
"You can always trust me with the truth, Griff."
"I know I can." I smiled down at her as I stroked her cheek. "You're always so intuitive, Nia. It's a quality of yours that makes me insane, but I appreciate it. To answer your question, I am a little nervous, but I'm ready."
"We're going to win,"
Nia assured me.
"I know we will."
"Me too," I replied, and I pulled my wife in closer. My eyelids had grown heavy, and I was ready to drift off to sleep. Tomorrow was going to be a big day, and I needed whatever rest I could manage. Unfortunately for us, Huna and Keela didn't appear the following morning, or even throughout the day. We sat around with weapons at the ready, but there wasn't a single sign of the remaining Arkans anywhere. When 2 days passed by, I could tell my teammates were antsy, and so was I.
"Would it be best to remain here?"
Nia wondered as she rested her chin in her hands.
"It doesn't feel like we're making any progress. Huna isn't falling for the bait."
"I figured she would have taken it by now," I sighed. "I don't understand why they haven't appeared yet." Suddenly, Nia perked up, and her motion was so fast it startled me.
"I know it's newly captured, but do you think summoning the Mistwolf you caught would help speed anything along?"
the elementalist proposed.
"I don't know if that would impact literally anything."
"I'm not sure it would either, but it probably wouldn't hurt to try." I shrugged and reached into my bandolier and retrieved my newest essence crystal. The smooth stone was cool to the touch, and as I sensed the monster's power flare in my hand, I wondered if I was about to make a huge mistake. I'd wielded the other Arkans monsters before, but Huna's summons were different from all the others. As far as I could tell, the pack was all connected through a similar thought process, like a hive mind, and I didn't know if my capturing the monster alone was enough for me to be able to control it in the same way I controlled my other monsters. Still, I had to try. I threw the essence crystal on the ground and said a quick prayer to the Maker as plumes of blue-black smoke rose from the gem. This was either going to be really great or a really bad idea, and I didn't know which it would be until the monster appeared before me. When the smoke cleared, I faced the eyes of my new summons, and the she-wolf looked angry. "Fuck!" Her eyes were flat against her head, and her lips curled back into a fearsome snarl. The monster's iridescent fur had a spiky appearance, and her tail flicked back and forth just as it had before I'd captured her.
"Griff, what the fuck are you doing?"
Gawain hissed, and his green eyes darted from me to the wolf.
"Do you really think this is the best idea?"
"I don't see anyone else making suggestions," I hissed right back. The she-wolf flexed her toes and claws, and a low growl filled the air. She was going to attack me. There was no doubt about that. My capturing her had not been enough to tame her, and even though I possessed much higher-grade monsters than her, she had a stronger will.
I debated my options. I could attempt to recall her, or I could try to send Dio after her before she could tear my throat out. I could try to take her on again myself, but that option didn't seem very viable. As a last-ditch effort, I sent a wave of my will to the monster and tried to appeal to her in a gentle voice. "I know you have a mistress to serve and a pack you're loyal to," I began slowly. "I also know I'm just some human who locked you away in a crystal cage and is now attempting to give you orders. But I don't want you to think of me that way. I want us to work together, even if I initially captured you for my personal gain. You're a beautiful creature, and I'd be honored to have you as my companion. So what do you say? Will you help me?" The she-wolf took a step toward me, and though my heart pounded like a drum, I kept my features soft and my eyes calm to appeal to the creature. The iridescent monster blinked at me slowly, and I was hypnotized by the molten silver color of her eyes. I slowly blinked back at her and crouched down so I was eye level with the mist wolf.
"Griff, what are you?"
"Shh," I whispered as I continued to keep eye contact with the she-wolf. The wolf took another step over to me, and I watched her upright tail curl between her back legs. Finally, she took a few more steps until she was about a foot away from me, and I held my breath as I waited. She was technically my monster now, but there was still a chance I wouldn't be able to control her. She wasn't as physically powerful as a monster like my sun giant or the Belial, but there was a strength about her energy that was just as immense. "You can trust me," I murmured. The mist wolf narrowed her eyes and stared at me. Her muscles flexed as she went to move, and my hand hovered near my sheathed dagger in preparation for attack. But to my surprise, the mist wolf dropped to the ground and rolled over so her belly was facing me. A grin spread across my face as her bright pink tongue lolled out, and I fought the urge to laugh. Did she want me to rub her belly? I cautiously reached out my hand, and the mist wolf gave me a look that said, "Hey, can you hurry up and pet me already?" So I obliged. The mist wolf's fur was soft, almost like a rabbit's, and much denser than I'd expected. The pack of monsters had looked somewhat transparent, so I'd expected a different sensation. But their translucence might have been an illusion.
"Griff, are you seriously giving that monster a belly rub right now?"
Brayden chuckled as he shook his head back and forth.
"You continue to amaze me."
"Hey, she knows what she wants," I shrugged, and the mist wolf let out a contented sigh as I found the exact spot. After such a ferocious display, I'd expected her to rip my hand off, but her submissive position told me she'd taken my assurance to heart.
"She's beautiful,"
Nia remarked as her blue eyes trailed over the mist wolf.
"She is, isn't she?"
I agreed with a small laugh. The iridescent monster let out a yawn, rolled over, and then rose to her feet. Her expression had shifted from cautious and agitated to calm and curious, and she delicately sniffed the air. "What's wrong?" I asked the creature as I sensed a shift in mood through our bond. The mist wolf perked up, and her tail went from a curled position to completely upright. A growl rippled through her body, and her rainbow-tinted fur had an almost prickly quality about it.
"Did she scent something?"
Gawain wondered as he crossed over to us. Brayden, Vala, Mur, and Freya followed suit, and each of my friends craned their necks to get a closer look.
"What's going on?"
I tried to ask my monster again, but the mist wolf's silver eyes fixated on a specific point ahead of us.
"Griff!"
Freya called out to me.
"I think I hear..."
The Hawk Princess's voice caught in her throat, and she rushed over to Vala's side as my mist wolf's growls grew louder. A rustling sound came from the forest in front of us, and suddenly a pair of figures emerged from the emerald expanse of trees. My breath halted in my chest as the pair came into focus. Nia stiffened beside me.
"Griff, is that..."
"Huna and Keela," I finished for the ashen-haired elementalist. The Arkans gracefully stepped into the clearing and shot twin looks of arrogance our way. The sheer amount of energy the goddesses exuded with every motion was enough to send adrenaline through my veins, and my hands shook from anticipation when they finally stopped just 40 feet from where my friends and I stood. This was it. They were finally here, and our final battle was imminent.
Well, if it isn't the Beastmaker!
Hoonah scoffed as her fist tightened around the hilt of her gilded sword.
I believe you have something that belongs to me.